everyone. I'm Brana Breslin.
And I'm Dia Sharma.
Welcome to another episode of Yana LV, where we're on a mission to normalize mental health discussions and foster a supportive community. Yana stands for You Are Not Alone, and that's exactly what the show is all about. Here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond, we're breaking barriers and challenging the stigma surrounding mental health. Through candid conversations, expert insights, and personal stories, we're exploring the highs and the lows of mental health and well-being altogether.
Today we are joined by Jay Gogana, who is in the LGBTQ community and works in healthcare. Jay has always been a part of the community in different phases of his life. He loved to support those who want to learn more, either for personal knowledge or to become a better ally. Hello, Jay. Welcome to Yana. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
So, starting off, can you share your personal experience with discovering and accepting your sexuality, and how has it impacted your mental health journey?
Well, my experience coming out as a lesbian was not like most. It was pretty straightforward, pun intended. And just like most things in life, they're good and bad. I could unapologetically be me. I had no family to help me, but it improved my mental health overall when I stopped hiding and truly became myself and accepted that.
So what are some common misconceptions or stereotypes surrounded being part of the LGBTQ community?
I think the most common one is probably being promiscuous. Some vague stereotypes are like we're creeps or freaks or just plain old weird. But I bet you money if you take 20 minutes and just spend some time with somebody in the LGBT community, you will have something in common with them. On the other hand, as queer individuals, I feel like it's also our responsibility to bridge the gap in between the communities. And so we also need to be more invitational and invite more people into our events and things like that who don't believe or don't understand and maybe share some information on that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think stereotypes are the reason why there's so much differences between different communities. And if we can just break those stereotypes and not assume and just get more perspective, it'll be beneficial for everyone.
Of course.
So how can we challenge and remove these misconceptions?
We can try to have a positive outlook by politely educating, you know, keeping that open dialogue. I'm a firm believer in education, not just by books, but by experiences in life. I think we can keep an open dialogue with just straight questions. So, for example, what's the first thing that comes into your head when you saw me?
I would say, why do you choose the name Jay?
So, funny story is I chose the name Jay because my legal name is Jade. J-A-D-E, and my mom had passed when I was very young, and so I didn't want to dishonor her by changing the name that she had picked for me. Mm-hmm. And also, she always called me Jay growing up, so I just decided to keep the same spelling and just drop the D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really important to definitely not judge a book by its cover and really keep an open mindset for sure. I feel like it's really important.
So many LGBTQ individuals face rejection from their families or communities when they come out. Have you ever faced this in your life, or what strategies helped you cope with this kind of rejection and build a support network?
I was lucky because I didn't have a family to come out to, so I didn't have to worry about that. Oh my God, is my family not going to accept me? But I do remember being very young and hearing the judgmental things that my family would say, and that kind of influenced how I thought about others, and which caused me to then have the same stigmas or same, I guess, thoughts for the same issues until I was old enough to think for myself.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think your community and the people you surround yourself with shape your opinions and beliefs. It can really change things.
Yeah, it can alter it.
Yeah. Are you like familiar with like TikTok and like social media?
I am.
So how do you think like individuals who are afraid to express themselves because they see the backlash that people of the LGBTQ community plus are facing, like, how do you think that's going to shape who they want to be, like, express how they want to express themselves?
I feel like you should express yourself like nobody's watching, like, who cares? Because at the end of the day, it's your life, you know? There are going to be haters no matter what you say. You could say the sky is blue and there's somebody out there that's going to say, no, it's purple. And, you know, so there's always going to be somebody that's going to go against what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're polite, I feel like there's no reason to not just be you, you know, in a respectful way.
So for gay individuals living in societies with conservative views on sexuality, what unique mental health challenges do you think they might face, and how can they get that support in this hostile environment?
I think some of the mental health challenges maybe think that they were a mistake or there's something wrong with them, or maybe they're suppressing the feeling that they think that they're better off dead. This is very common in the LGBT community. This is simply wrong, in my opinion. No one should feel this way just because of who they love or, you know, they're trying to put something positive into the world. Some cities have community centers where they have groups so you can meet other people like yourself so you can feel more connected. And also they have, ever since COVID, you know, there's everything is on the internet. So there's like group chats and Facebook and TikTok and everything that you just mentioned that kind of can unify you in a wider span.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Finding these communities that you identify with different people can really help you get out of your shell or accept who you are and not think about all these feelings that are suppressed for the past like years just because of other people in society not accepting you.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Can you discuss the role of online communities and social media in shaping mental health experiences for the LGBTQ plus community? And I know that we just touched on that, but is there anything like additional you want to add, positive or negative?
I mean, there's, you know, just like most things, there's mental health in general with not just LGBT people, but, you know, straight individuals, however you identify. But a negative is, you know, you're going to be exposed to hatred. And we touched on that a little bit. And then the positive is, though, for like that little boy that's out in Utah, you never know how alone he's feeling. And until he voices that on the internet and you support him that way, that could literally be life changing for him.
Yeah, and I feel like whenever I scroll on TikTok or social media, like Instagram reels, and so I always see comments regarding and about the LGBTQ plus community. And it's honestly, most of them I see are very hateful, and I feel bad. You know, it makes me feel for this community.
Yeah.
I agree with Brana that I think on social media, sometimes people just want to spread hate because sometimes they're like, they don't know who I am. I can say what I want. But at the end of the day, it's hurting the other person's feelings who's on the screen at the other end.
Yeah. When I see those things, I try to take in perspective, you don't know what that individual is going through, and they may be feeling really down about their self. And the only way to bring themselves up, you know, unfortunately, is to lash out at somebody else. And that's not an excuse for that behavior, mm-hmm. but it definitely makes me, you know, mentally calm down a little bit and not take it to heart, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's just some stranger that I don't know, and they don't know what the situation's going on behind the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those comments also made me think about how, like, in TV shows or movies, like Perks of Being a Wallflower or in Euphoria, Jacob Elordi, I don't know if the viewers are familiar or not with that, but basically, in those movies, there are these, like, popular guys. They're, you know, they got muscles, they attract all these girls, but in reality and in secret, they're gay, and they want to resist it. And so, you know, they're homophobic themselves, but really, they're homosexual.
In television and in movies that you see this because they don't want to face that backlash from society. Mm-hmm. So then they try to counteract it with negative energy upon their true identity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this will all change once more, you know, professional athletes come out of the closet, because there are, you know, gay and lesbian individuals. It's just they're not out there as much. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are out there are, you know, getting the backlash and stuff like that. But I think it'll be more normalized and less of a macho man kind of thing once it's more out there.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think we can promote inclusive language that respects diverse experiences within the LGBTQ community?
Simply ask if you're unsure of somebody's pronouns, you know, kind of like what you did earlier in the hallway with me. You wanted to verify that I go by he, him. And that's totally normal. Never assume. And then they also have books on acceptance and all these different topics. And then, of course, if you don't like reading books, there's just plain old Google.
Mm-hmm. You don't know what that other person, you don't want to assume anything about someone else. That's why earlier, before we walked in, I wanted to ask you what your pronouns are, because I thought they were he, him, but I didn't want to assume whatsoever.
Of course.
So what strategies or coping mechanisms have you found most effective in dealing with discrimination or prejudice related to your gender identity?
Mostly it's just ignoring people, making the comments and the noise just go away in my head. It took many years to instinctually do this, because the first, you know, thing I instinctively wanted to do was, you know, come back at them with some words. But then after a while, once I was comfortable in my own skin and confident, I just surrounded myself with positive people and like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, honestly, saying less is always better, because I think there's, like, a psychological, like, effect with that, honestly, like, how, like, if you say less, you know, people are going to be in shock and just, like, not even know what to say anymore.
Of course. Kind of. Yeah, I come across a lot of people call me, you know, the F word for gays, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, just to make it better, I just blow a kiss at them. And it usually makes them more mad. And then I get my win and I get to walk away happy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the less of a reaction you give to someone who wants more of that reaction out of mm-hmm. you, it drives them insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So have you encountered any mentors or role models within the LGBTQ community or others who have positively impacted your mental health and personal growth? If so, how?
I didn't have a personal queer role model. However, I did have, her name is Alexis Romano, and she was actually my guidance counselor in high school. And she was very, very important in an ally role. And she pushed me to go to therapy and to take care of my mental health because she saw that I was struggling. And of course, at the end, she believed in me when I didn't. So mm-hmm. she's the reason why I'm here today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think role models, especially in a time like high school where you're growing and finding yourself and becoming a young adult, are so necessary. Like 2 months ago, Brana and I had our own teacher on here that's both of our role models. Mm-hmm. And she actually like helped us create kind of this podcast mm-hmm. and make it more to the level it is today.
Oh, so. That's awesome.
So was there a particular event or experience that made you feel fully accepted within the LGBTQ community for the first time?
Probably when I first met my wife, the first question she ever asked me was, what are your pronouns? And her asking that, you know, kind of gave me two things. One, it was a clue that she was in the community, right? Because mm-hmm. usually people, unless they're an ally or in the community, don't ask that question. And then it was also the first hint at like, oh, I may be interested in you. And, you know, of course, I was oblivious to that. I was a typical guy like that. So her asking me that definitely, you know, saw what I was trying to bury deep down inside. You know, it was deeper than just what are your pronouns, because she saw something that I was struggling with myself. Mm-hmm. So she saw me for me.
Yeah, that's great. Like, honestly, having someone that you feel like you can relate to is always, it's always such a good thing.
So in societies with conservative views on sexuality, what unique mental health challenges might they face, and what resources or support systems can they access in such environments?
I think the biggest mental health challenge in conservative communities are a feeling of isolation and loneliness, right? Like you're not surrounded by the people that are like you. We as human beings are very social creatures naturally, even if you say you're an introvert like me. You know, I like to be in smaller groups, not maybe massive, but we still thrive on that social. So, you know, like having the online communities is a good help for them to get out of the funk of being depressed or anything like that. And then also, you know, just going to pride parades. Pride parades are great just to see what it's all about.
I think when you find people you really identify those aspects of your identity with, it can create more pathways for you, make you feel and love yourself even more.
Of course.
We're going to take a short break. We're talking with our guest, Jay, about the LGBTQ community in mental health here on Yana LB. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
WDIY members have exclusive access to our weekly member ticket giveaway. That's a new drawing every week for the best events the Lehigh Valley has to offer. Concerts, festivals, film screenings, theater performances, and more. Last year, WDIY gave away over 2,000 tickets to our members. So don't miss your chance. Become a WDIY member today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4. Or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Yana LV. We're here with Jay, and now we'll continue our conversation about the queer community and its correlation to mental health.
So, Jay, how can we create a more inclusive society that actively supports the mental well-being of gay individuals, particularly in terms of access to healthcare and social acceptance?
I think we've come a long way already, because when I first started transitioning, I remember most top surgeries of my friends were not included with your health insurance. But now most of it gets covered, as long as you have like the correct diagnosis and all that good stuff. So that's huge for most people. That's like thousands and thousands of dollars, right? Mm-hmm. But as far as social acceptance, I think queer clinics are necessary, especially in the Lehigh Valley, because we're so far from Philly and New York, which most people go to. But not only will the staff will be specialty trained in like how to deal with, how to ask your pronouns, and they won't be shy around that because they're willing to work there, you know what I'm saying? So those individuals will be more comfortable. And for example, some of those trans men still need to go to a gynecologist, right? Mm-hmm. For example, a lot of people don't think about that stuff. So when I first transitioned, I remember, you know, I had a full beard and I was sitting in the waiting room sweating because I was so nervous and so stressed, not to mention the weeks of stress beforehand. And I'm sitting there waiting. And then, of course, they called me Jade and I'm like, oh, you know, I feel so mm-hmm. awkward. And then, you know, I just get up and I go in and everybody's looking around like, what? Why are you going in there? Like, aren't you waiting for your wife or something? Mm-hmm. So like that whole mental struggle is real. And so I feel like if we had queer clinics, then that would make it a lot easier for those individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've definitely, like, I would say, like, we've come a long way, but there's definitely still progress to make.
Of course.
I think it also has to do with, like, breaking the stigma, too, and, like, spreading more awareness about it, for sure, because I feel like some people are just not even aware, and they don't even want to acknowledge, you know, how these individuals are feeling or what they're going through. They just kind of ignore it, but I feel like, you know, we have to bring more awareness to it.
Yeah, and I think, like, what we said before about backlash, that's another thing. So many people are so scared about what other people are going to think about them, how society is, like, not going to accept them anymore, and it leads to loneliness and isolation. But if we can break that stigma and break that idea of that barrier that, oh, what are they going to think of me, then I think it could change society for the better. So how do you think education and awareness campaigns can contribute to reducing stigma and discrimination against LGBTQ individuals, ultimately improving their mental health outcomes?
By having these campaigns, you're breaking the silence, right? That's the first thing you need to do. You're also, you know, giving people who are not familiar with the community a chance to take like a sneak peek in, but then also having that security that they're not going to get, you know, lashed back from, you know, the regular society. Remember to be patient, as some people don't know how to word things. They may come out offensive. You know, for example, some people think the word queer is offensive, whereas some people don't think that word is offensive. I personally don't. Most people who are going to ask questions are not there to be mean or harsh. They generally want to know more. For example, like the term transsexual, right? It's a very dated word. However, I still identify with that word because I believe that my gender is correct and I'm transitioning my sex. So therefore, I'm not transgender, I'm transsexual because I'm changing my sex. Mm-hmm. But that's personally how I feel. Some transgender individuals don't like that term because they're like, oh, it reminds me of Rocky Horror Picture Show or, you know, like all those crazy shows that make trans people look crazy. But I personally don't take offense to that word. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people think that if they ask questions or try to inquire more, maybe come off as rude and try to, like, hide it. But if you want to know more about the community to change your perspective about it, I think that's for the positive and for the better.
Of course.
People should be more open to and, like, less afraid to ask questions and really just know, like you said, like, how to word them and how to be respectful. Like, really, I feel like people shouldn't be afraid to ask. They should just know how to be respectful.
Of course. And also to go off of that, I feel like also the queer individuals themselves need to be more open about getting asked these questions mm-hmm. because we're not going to be able to change the outlook without any information. So if people don't know, then they're not going to be able to change their mindset on it. Mm-hmm. So they have to be willing to ask you questions in order to do so.
So what role do allies and advocates play in fostering a supportive environment for the LGBTQ plus individuals? And how can they effectively contribute to mental health advocacy efforts?
I believe that nothing brings more smiles than LGBT community seeing other straight couples show up in Pride stuff and saying, like, straight and supportive or something like that. You know, when I first saw that in New York Pride, I was like, wow, that's really cool because, you know, they're here to support us. Even that one couple, like, really made my day. And obviously that was, like, I don't know, 10 years ago. It really stuck into my head, and now I still think about it all the time.
Yeah, I think that's great. It shows how, you know, you don't just have to be a part of this community. You can still support it, though. Like, you don't have to be a member of it, but you can still respect.
Also, like, communities of race and also, like, LGBTQ communities, like, just supporting what they're doing and trying to learn more about that culture or that society can make a long way and make those feel very respected and well-known.
Of course.
So what are some strategies or initiatives that workplaces and institutions can implement to create safer and more supportive environments by enhancing their mental health and overall well-being?
I think educational institutes are more advanced than workplaces. For example, my school has a pride flag hung. And, you know, just seeing it hung there right next to the American flag was a proud moment for me. You know, I took a second just to, like, look at that, because 10 years ago you wouldn't have seen that. Mm-hmm. And I think that little bit of cloth that's just hanging from a pole is so extraordinarily powerful to some individuals. I think that more places should hang Pride stuff, especially during Pride Month. I mean, if you don't want to hang it all year, that's fine. But especially during Pride Month, to let us know that we're supported. You know, for example, work, I haven't seen a Pride flag hung at all. Mm-hmm. So it's very different. So I think just hanging a simple Pride flag or putting a rainbow sticker on things is huge.
Yeah, so even at D&I at our school, we have the Gay Straight Alliance Club, so GSA we call it. In the lunchroom, they'll sell, like, candies for LGBTQ-accepting community, like, community centers and stuff, and for more future events, like, and, like, they even give out, like, rainbow pins, and, yeah, and that's a more recent club, too, so I feel like our school's even becoming more aware.
And I think it's also the fact that people want to bring that change. For example, our club was never like this, but because of one individual who constantly spreads awareness about this and gives stickers to everyone, you know, he's like, Happy Pride Month. He's very enthusiastic and he's really sweet. But people like that and individuals like that bringing more positivity to the community and spreading it in a very positive light makes others accept it in a positive light and want to be part of it.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, I even think, like, since the founding of GSA at my school, like, people who are a part of that club and a part of that community are becoming so much, like, happier with themselves. Like, I've noticed, like, there's individuals at my school who've, like, before it was founded, like, they didn't really look too happy, I'm going to be honest. But more recently, I would say for sure, like, in the past, like, 3 years, they have been, like, so much more energy, so much more confidence, for sure.
Another thing bouncing off of that is in that assembly that I was just talking about earlier, so many people talked about their stories of how they were in closets in middle school and how in middle school when they had GSA, they got clowned and ridiculed and they would start crying every night themselves to sleep. But then when they came to high school, they felt a new sense of community. And I think it's truly because of those individuals who are supporting them and spreading it in a positive light.
Yeah, it's all about support.
So how can we build a more inclusive society that supports the mental well-being of gay individuals?
June is Pride Month, so reach out to your queer friends and family and tell them that, you know, happy Pride, you know, that just those simple little words will bring a smile on their face. Even if it's through a text message, you don't have to call them. But just knowing that June is a month of Pride and just knowing that you are aware of that is awesome.
It takes, like, what, 5 seconds to send a text message? And, you know, that 5 seconds could honestly change someone's whole day or even whole month or even who they are, really.
Yeah, because just acknowledging it and just sending them that recognition, something that will change their day, I think the act that you're doing is, like, small in your eyes, but in their eyes it can make their whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So through your journey, is there any advice you would like to give others based on your experiences?
I would say just be you, because you only have one life to live, right? And don't let anybody else's words change your thoughts. It's not worth it. At the end of the day, you have to live with yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to live with that person, so...
I think so many people try to fit in society's profile and try to be the best, like, the perfect person, but I don't think there's such thing as perfect, because that's what makes each one of us ourselves, because the experiences that have shaped each one of us are the experiences that make us different from everyone else, and we can connect with other people based off those experiences.
So, Jay, do you have any, like, closing thoughts you want to add after our conversation? Are there any events coming up or any keywords people could look up online or on Google to learn more?
I know that Lehigh Valley Pride is usually in August at some time, so you can probably Google that. And it's good to go out to those because you can find, you know, churches and communities that way. So if you're a religious person, you can find LGBT-friendly religions. And then also you can find providers. Like, if you don't like your, I don't know, say your heart doctor or your gynecologist or your neurologist, usually each Lehigh Valley and St. Luke's both have, like, a list and a tent of providers that are LGBT-friendly. And usually those providers are in some way, form, in the community.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course, yeah. Had fun.
engaging this conversation, I think it was really fun. It was nice to get more perspective. So we're out of time for this episode. Thank you so much, Jay, for joining us this evening. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. You can find past episodes and other public affairs programs at WDIY.org, on the WDIY app, and on major podcast platforms.
I'm Brana Breslin.
And I'm Dia Sharma, and this is WDIY 88.1. We'll see you next time on Yana LV, and remember, you are not alone.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to the WDIY website or app to share or become a WDIY member.